I have one verse I want to read this morning. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, if you want to be turning there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Amen. Think about Adam for a moment. What an amazing specimen he must have been. Skilled, created with skill. The moment God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he was skilled enough to dress and keep the garden.
Right.
The moment God breathed breath into him, he was in his prime. He was to be fruitful and multiply. The moment that God Almighty breathed breath into his nostrils, he was without flaw. Because God not only said of him, he and the creation, it was good, he said it is very good.
Amen.
And also remember what a specimen he was. He had no guilt. He and his wife were naked, and they had no shame.
That's right.
And he was also wise. How do I know that? Because God, the Lord God, brought the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air to Adam to see what Adam would name them.
That's right.
Now, I don't know exactly what all animals were there, and I'm not here to try to debate that. But which one of us today, just to illustrate this, which one of us today looks at a chicken and thinks, well, that ought to be an elephant?
Exactly.
Because the title chicken just don't fit the chicken. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Whatever Adam named those animals, it was the right thing.
That's right.
Exactly. It was the right name.
Yes, it was.
And you think about animals. Now, I know there are those. Well, we're just so used to hearing it, but it's right.
Exactly.
It's right. God brought every field beast and every one of the fowl of the air to Adam to see. That is, so that God might observe what Adam would call them. Here's a question. Why?
Yeah. There you go.
Why? Well, let me give you a couple things that I know it was not because of. And I know it wasn't because of these couple things, because of the preponderant testimony of this book. Okay? One thing God did not do it for was because God was ignorant.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, that may seem to be a simple statement, but folks, there are people in this world who believe God doesn't know everything.
Right. You're right.
From all eternity and time.
You're right.
But one of the phrases, it's not found in the, especially in the King James Version, but God is omniscient. That is, God knows all things from all time and all eternity. God has never had a new thought.
That's right.
Never had a new thought. Here's another one. God was not inquisitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was not anticipating to see what would happen.
Yeah.
But even more than that, here's a third one. God did not relinquish his absolute authority. There are those, if you're some commentators, who say, you know, God relinquished his authority. Oh no, God brought the animals to Adam.
Amen.
And God chose which animals he would name and which ones he wouldn't, because he didn't bring him the fish of the sea.
That's right.
And he didn't tell him to gaze at the stars of heaven and name them, did he?
No, that's exactly.
He said, here's the beast of the field. And he brought them to him. And here's the fowl of the air. And God brought him to him. And God observed what Adam called him. Here's why. Here's why. And I know this is why, because it's the preponderant testimony of this book, and I'll give you an example to prove it. God, here's why God did this. God was pleased to observe the action of his one man as his one man echoed forth God's wisdom in words. I thought about this a long while. Think about it. God was pleased to observe the action of his one man as his one man echoed forth God's wisdom in words. I know this is true because there has only ever been two men whom God ever observed with delight, their action and their words welling forth from within themselves, and God was pleased with it.
Amen.
That's the first Adam and the last Adam.
Amen.
That's the first Adam and the second Adam.
Yeah.
And Paul tells us that very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45, 46, and 47.
Yeah.
And the kicker is first Adam and not second Adam. That's mentioned.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The first Adam and the what?
Yeah.
The last Adam.
There
has only been two representative men
on
the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
One was the first Adam. The other was the second Adam, whom God, Paul, calls by inspiration the last Adam.
Amen.
What a thing. My title is Christ's Action and Words.
Amen.
That's what we see prophesied here. That's what we see. Maybe not prophesied. It's not the best word. This is what we see illustrated here when God brings the animals to Adam and Adam names them. God said of the Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism, when John the Apostle, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, it says that God literally spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then later on another occasion in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, you can read these words. God said the very similar thing again. He shouted forth from glory.
Yeah.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then what did he say? Hear ye him.
Amen.
I can imagine Eve, just imagine Eve standing there with wonder as her husband named all these animals, Mason. That one's a tiger. That one's a bear. That one's a lion. That one up there on that limb, that's an eagle. This one over here, that's a crow. And Neely did it without hesitation.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
He knew what to call them.
Amen.
This is my beloved Son, God said, in whom I am well pleased.
Yes.
Hear ye him.
Amen.
And the reason that's only ever said of Christ is because the first Adam fail.
Yeah, that's right.
The first Adam fail. All of that skill, all of that pride, all of that no flaw, all of that no guilt, all of that wisdom vanished like that. When it come to anything concerning spiritual matters and God Almighty.
You're right.
The first Adam failed. The first Adam experienced the fall by one sin and one sin only.
You're right.
He didn't have to amass a mass of sins.
You're right.
He stepped knowingly into one sin, and in that one sin he failed, and he gained guilt. He gained self-will, not free will.
Yeah.
At best, Adam had free will before the fall. He did not have it after the fall.
That's right.
And you go back and read Genesis chapter 3 and you'll see that. He was filled with self-will, not free will.
Exactly.
Guilt. He gained guilt. He gained self-will. He hid from God.
Yes, he did.
He hid from God. Rather than crying out for mercy from God, he hid from God. And then he tried to cover Joe his own nakedness with the work of his own hands.
That's right.
And God seen through them fig leaves.
That's exactly right.
God seen. Adam, he probably looked pretty good to himself. Made it for Eve too. She's covered. Covered quite well. Huh? All the embarrassing parts now are covered quite well.
Yeah.
When at one time they were not an embarrassment to them.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
But yet it did not cover them before God's eyes.
Amen.
All other humans Notice I didn't say men.
Yeah.
Because here we're talking about the first man and the last man. The first man and the second man. And that's what the word Adam actually means.
Yep.
Adam, to show blood in the face. All other humans were made sinners by that first Adam's one sin. That's what the book says. Reject it and you reject the truth of God. I don't like that. God doesn't tell us to like it. He says, bow down to my truth.
Amen.
Believe the truth of God. And God says that by the one act of one disobedience, many were made sinners. Think about it. We did not fall like Adam fell.
Yeah.
We fell when Adam fell.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Adam fell. He was in a state of no guilt.
That's right.
Wisdom, skill, in his prime, without flaw, wise. And he fell from that.
Exactly.
I don't know what that's like.
No, you're right.
And you don't know what that's like. And no one hearing my voice today, nor any other human being ever since Adam, none of us has ever understood that. We did not fall like Adam fell.
Right.
We fail when Adam fell.
Amen. That's it.
Therefore, this is why Paul calls us the natural man.
That's it. Yes.
Because the fall to us is natural.
Yeah.
It's all we're used to. It's all we know. It's the only place that we've ever been, and it is by nature. And notice something about the natural man. Turn to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And listen to what it says about the natural man. I say one, I meant 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14.
Yeah.
But the natural man, that's what we are in Adam.
Yes, sir.
That's what we are by conception and by birth and by life and by upbringing. No matter how well you try to train your child, you cannot train the natural man out of them.
Exactly.
You may, under God Almighty's providential direction, keep some of that at bay, but you can't train it out of them. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. It's an impossibility.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And when Adam fell, he lost all spiritual ability. All of it.
Exactly.
All of it was gone. And you and I are conceived and born with that.
Yes, sir.
Mason, we can't even look back to some traces of it in us because we never had a trace of it in us.
That's right. Yeah.
And notice one of the things that Paul points out here. Look, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, which things also we speak.
Amen.
You see it?
Amen.
Speak. So this lets me know this. When God Almighty gives you spiritual life, he must first of all speak that spiritual life into existence.
Yes, sir.
And he speaks that spiritual life into existence so that you will then be able to hear and understand and receive and believe the things that God ordained through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Right.
So again, I say, we did not fall like Adam fell. We fell when Adam fell. Our sinfulness is natural sinfulness. But Christ, the last and the second Adam, he always did and said that which the Father delighted to observe.
Amen.
He always did and said that which the Father delighted to hear.
Amen.
I can only imagine the delight of God as Adam, his creation, his one man named those animals. Think of this. Here is God the Son.
Amen.
Speaking and doing. And God says about it all, I am well pleased.
Amen.
You better listen to this man.
Amen.
Think about it. The Father delighted to observe in what? Even in his very incarnation. And when he was born, God Almighty sent a distinguished marquee.
Yes,
a distinguished marquee. But he only sent it to some shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Amen.
And an angel suddenly appeared. And that had to be a glorious sight.
Yes,
and he begins to announce the birth of the Son of God.
Yes.
The one, the last Adam.
Yes, sir.
The second Adam. And he announces this is great joy.
Yes, sir.
Where does the joy begin?
Yeah.
With God.
Amen.
Not with men.
That's right.
There was joy in God.
Yes, sir.
At the birth of his Son. And it says, suddenly, there's this massive host of angels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But God revealed that to a group of men and only to that group of men.
That's right.
And that's the way God's always worked.
Amen.
It's the way God's always worked.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it. It's like one of those Las Vegas marquees. Just blah, blah, blah. Huh? But this was far more glorious than that. Hmm? And God did it to just a bunch of shepherds. He didn't go up to the palace.
No.
Did he? How's them shepherds out there keeping what? Their flock.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping sheep.
That's right.
Now, isn't that amazing one there? Mm-hmm. Think about it. In his adolescence, our Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the second Adam, in his adolescence, he was doing what? I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
You know, at 12 years old.
That's what it's been.
How many of us was about the Father's business at 12 years old?
You're right.
Huh?
Yeah.
I do like what Tim James said about it, about the adolescence of our Lord Jesus Christ until he began to be about, what, 30 years old, 33, something like that, whatever it was, 33. He said, we have a glimpse into his birth. We have a glimpse when he was about 2 years old when they moved down into Egypt. And we have a glimpse of when he was about 12 years old. And that's it.
That's it. That's all it is.
That's all we're told. But Tim James said this. He said, you know what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing during all that time when we have nothing, no light, no revelation? He was being perfect.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
He was being perfect.
Right.
Huh? He was being perfect. I like that. Mm. Even in his adolescence. And then when his public ministry began, that's when we hear God sounding forth from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him? Our Lord Jesus Christ, though, also prayed this. And you can read the words of John chapter 17 and verse 4. And you think about this. John 17 and verse 4. He says this, I have glorified thee on the earth.
Amen.
Only one man
has
ever been able to make that statement honestly.
Exactly.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished. I have finished. That is completed.
Yes, sir.
I have completed the work which thou gavest me to do. And what's he talking about here? He's talking about God, his preceptive obedience to the law of God.
That's right.
He's saying, I did it all right.
Amen.
Now that's more than just some mortal man speaking
sir.
Here. This is God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Amen.
Mm. But all not only that, in his life and death, he wrought the highest honor from God the Father.
Yes.
For we read in Philippians, the inspired canon says in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, but it specifically says these words. And turn back there. Philippians chapter 2, and listen to what Paul says. Now, I understand in Philippians chapter 2, Paul was speaking of these things and encouraging us to let the mind that was in Christ also be in us. But look at what he says, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. But let's just drop that for a moment because we want to look at who is Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
Amen.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Amen.
And not too many of us do that. We have to be humbled,
exactly.
Don't we? God has to humble us.
Amen.
He humbled himself and became obedient. Look, unto death. But he didn't just die in his sleep.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
He died hanging there as a common criminal. In the eyes of most people, they were just seeing another bad man down a cross.
Exactly. That's right.
And many of them mocked, spat. You know? Even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. See some naming going on here? Given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth.
Yes.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's his name, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
It pleases God. It pleases God,
yes, sir,
when he brings creatures to Christ,
yeah,
and he names them by name,
Amen,
and puts them under his crown.
Yes, sir.
Thousands speak of Jesus, but they never speak of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Some may even mention Christ, but they rarely speak of Lord.
Amen.
Others speak of Lord, but they have no idea what it all means. But these people I'm talking about, they've come to know the one true and living God and Jesus Christ, the one God Almighty sent.
Amen.
Therefore, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, because of this, let us, every individual who hears me here this morning, or who would ever hear this message ever again, therefore let us take great heed. And here is why. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24 to start with. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh.
Amen.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
And I say this, I'm going to try to qualify it. You best hear him.
Yep. Amen.
You best bow down,
Amen,
unto him. You best pay heed unto him.
Amen.
Let us take great heed. Will I hear the last and second Adam, or will I refuse?
There you go. That's it.
Right? Will I hear the first, or the last, I'm sorry, will I hear the first, the last, and second Adam, or will I refuse?
Amen.
Hear, and your soul is alive.
Yes, sir.
If you hear. Yeah. If you can hear, then you're alive. Mm-hmm. If you refuse, you shall not escape.
Amen.
Hear? And that's just the way it is.
Amen.
If you hear, you're alive.
Yes, sir.
You refuse, you shall not escape. Father, Amen, bless these words. May they be used by the power of thy spirit, not this clay pot. Use it for the uplifting of thy people and the calling out of those who are not yet even converted, Lord. If you'd be so pleased, I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.